Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you all in God's house tonight. I wanted to bring something up to everyone's attention. God spoke and said when the coronavirus came in, it was going to come in and go out as quick as it did. And here is a newspaper article from a doctor today in Italy. Coronavirus is weakening, could die out on its own without a vaccine, and patients now survive infections that would have killed them at the start of the pandemic, claims an Italian expert. We had nothing to fear from the very, very beginning. And God spoke this through Pastor Barbara and said, this is what was going to happen with it. And here we are now with the effects of it's going to fizzle out to nothing and disappear to nothing. That's exciting. Because God speaks and it comes to pass. But look at all the damage that took place in between because people would not heed the voice of God. They would not listen to His Spirit and heed what His Spirit was saying. I just wanted this to be a point of excitement and a point of joy for everyone who's been standing with God, standing with, you know, the words that He's spoken, because they are coming to pass in this season. And He is doing His works. Father, I just thank you for everything that you're about to do with your people. I thank you for the word that you placed upon my heart to sow into their vessels and into their beings. And as we go forth, we just release your Holy Spirit and your holy angels to go throughout this sanctuary and to touch each and every person. We cover everyone in the blood of your precious Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I wanted to talk about the difference made by relationships. Every one of us has relationships that we're in, whether it's friend to friend, husband to wife, parent to child, employer to employee. You're all in some type of relationship. When we're dealing with the body of Christ, most of the times that relationship is student and teacher. And it's very important that you understand that there is a relationship that's going on between you and your pastor, you and other people in leadership who are trying to teach you things. And in order for that to work, there's certain responses that you need to have. One of them is humility. One of them is submission. And one of them is love. You know, as a teacher, the teacher's already been through those phases, but they're trying to teach you how to walk in life and in your relationship with Christ, having that humility, submission, and love. And sometimes the body of Christ misses this because we're looking at, we need to be elevated, someone needs to put me on a stage somewhere so that I can show forth my gifting. But if you look at the things that God does in relationships, He uses those relationships to refine you and to bring out the goodness that's on the inside of you. He uses it to cut away the dirt, the junk that goes on, but He also uses it to bring out the good that's there. And sometimes it takes that relationship that God places you in to bring that forth. In order for you to be able to teach, you first have to be willing to be taught. You first have to be willing to be taught. I have learned in my walk with God to never assume, put myself in the position of being all-knowing. As soon as you do, you stop learning. This is what we commonly call being unteachable. You never want to place yourself in the position of being unteachable because this is a quick door opener to the spirit of pride. The last person that walked in pride walked himself right out of a job and into a permanent place away from the presence of God. That's Lucifer, Satan, because he got puffed up in pride and said, I don't need what you're trying to teach me. I don't need what you're trying to show me. In the student-teacher relationship that we have day in and day out, there's going to be things that are going to be taught directly to you by your teacher, and there's things that are going to be taught indirectly. And you have to learn to follow those indirect cues just as well as those direct cues, because they're very, very important. And the things that we're going to see tonight are how some indirect cues saved some people's lives, but it also caused them to lose out because they didn't follow and they didn't heed what the Holy Spirit was saying. Pride will destroy anything good that God has given you. And you have to remember that in your walk with God. And pride will also destroy your relationships. It will keep you from being taught things that you need to know in a timely manner, especially if you have the attitude that I already know it. You know, what you're teaching me right now is dumb because I know a better way. I have a deeper understanding than you. I'm the student, and this is what I'm telling to the teacher. It doesn't work that way. And because God has been working with, you know, people who are teaching or mentoring, God tells them, don't say anything to them. Let them go, because this lesson they're going to have to learn the hard way. They're going to have to learn it through some hard knocks, some hard hits, and some bumps. A word to the wise, and I believe everyone in here today is wise. Everyone under the sound of my voice is wise. If you don't have to go down a hard road, a hard bump, hard path, don't do it. Listen to the wisdom and the instruction that's being put forth in front of you. It will save you time. It will save you a lot of effort. And it will give you a deeper anointing. Tonight, I want to take a step back, and I want you to look at your life through a different viewpoint. And as you take this look, I want you to see how at different points of your life, you were in relationship with someone, and that someone was there to teach you something. Sometimes we miss the fact that these relationships exist, and we're not paying attention because we're trying to go about the busyness of life. And we miss those cues. I cherish the time that we get with each other. And I think we all need to do that, because there's things that we learn from each other. When, you know, we were limited down to the 10, it was a big difference in the atmosphere, because you didn't feel that sense of camaraderie, you know, that you do when everybody's here. And the gifting that you all have in strengthening one another and building one another up, it was absent. It was missing from the body of Christ. And the same with those who were unable to attend, you know, because they were by themselves, they're isolated, and people had a hard time going through this period. So this just goes to prove that we all need each other. You know, God put us in this body. He puts you in the body that you're in for a purpose, you know, because you need that relationship. And it's not because you're doing anything bad. It's just you just need that relationship. So think about that. You need the benefit that comes from seeing things from a different perspective. As we're going through this, think about the relationships that God has placed you in. Now, I would like for you to consider this. There is a fine line between taming wildness out of someone and breaking their spirit. Think about that. If someone has a wild attitude or a wild personality, you have to remember that God gave them that personality. He put that in there. He wants them trained in the spirit. He wants them trained to be able to flow in the spirit, but he's going to use that personality that he's given them to do different things. So the hard part about being a teacher is learning when, you know, to overlook the wildness, to overlook that personality, and then learning when to hone it, to bring it down and say, no, you know, this isn't personality, this is character, this needs to be straightened out. So I've heard Pastor Barbara say this many times about raising children. You don't want to break the child's spirit. Because once you do that, you've messed up. You've hurt God's heart. Because that spirit that he put inside of that child, or flip this around, the spirit that God has placed for you to train and to raise up, he put that there for a reason. And we have a responsibility to make sure that they they go through their training and they go through their process and they keep that same personality without becoming a clone to you. And see, this is important in the body of Christ right now because people don't know how to teach without making people clones. You lose your individuality. You lose your perspective. And this is the thing that a good teacher will do. They will fine-tune you, and they will get the things out of you that need to be gotten out of, but celebrate who you are as a person. So again, this is what God is trying us to get us to focus in on in our relationships. The Father is wanting you to understand how important relationships are in this season. The relationships that He has placed you in, you are being placed with a stable person, a grounded person, a person who has been through the taming process, and you are in the yoke with them, and you are bucking, and you're going wild. You're not used to working. You're not used to things going the opposite of the way that you want them, but you're in this stock, and you need to realize that God is trying to train you. Now, I'll put a picture in there. Is there any way you can make that a little bit bigger? This is two oxen that are yoked together, and usually when they go through the process of putting oxen together, there's an older oxen that's been seasoned, that's been through that yoke, that understands what that yoke is for, and then they put them together with a younger oxen. So the younger oxen doesn't really understand what's going on, but the older one does. So they go throughout that process of carrying that load that they're supposed to carry. And they go to where they're supposed to get their food, then they go back to eat to their load. You know, so they walk together with this yoke around their neck. And some people think that's oppressive. I don't understand why I have to listen to what she says or he says or my mom says or my dad says, because they don't understand me. But the problem is you don't see what they see. You don't know what God has told them is coming down the road. And you're trying to kick out of that yoke when it's really there for your protection. And if you would follow the older oxen, if you would follow the leader that God has placed in your life, it will keep you from making mistakes. It will keep you from going down a path that you shouldn't go on. And this is something that really, really needs to be stated. It can't be overstated in the body of Christ because it's so important in this time period, because people are losing. They're losing their walk with God because they're kicking out of this yoke. Everybody understand? Does she need to go upstairs? So people are kicking out of the yokes ahead of time, and they're missing God's timing. It's time as sons and daughters that you understand that you are being trained. Now, if you missed the Aglow meeting yesterday, God spoke and said that we're ready. He spoke and said that He's doing the things that He wants us to do. And that's exciting. That's very, very exciting. And if you hadn't listened to that message, it's on the internet. You can download it and pull it in and get it into yourselves. But there's still more things that we all need to learn in order to do the things that God is asking us to do. So when God said that we're ready, He didn't break the relationships that we were in. He kept them. So that's not a time to kick off and say, oh, I can do my own thing now because I'm ready. No, this is a time to really, really focus in and become stronger tied to that relationship. And again, you have to go into this with, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. I can't see things that are coming. I can't see things in the spirit like the older person that's been with me, training me, teaching me, helping me. And I need to be able to be wise enough to know, man, it wasn't me that got myself here. It was this older person that got me here. And older, I mean mature. I'm not talking about age. Someone who is mature in the spirit that got me further along in the spirit than where I was at. and you have to see this in all of the relationships that God's placed you in. Sometimes people go around the same mountain over and over and over again, and they're missing the fact that God is trying to teach them something on that mountain. He's trying to teach them something on that rung. And you're mad at the person that you're yoked to. You're upset with God. And if this fits with you, put the shoe on, as Pastor Barbara says. But if it doesn't, I want you to have the understanding of what God is doing with you. And because this is a two-part thing, one day, it may even be now, you could be teaching somebody else. So the things that you do to your teacher, you're going to do to your student. So if you're trying to buck against your teacher, there's going to be things, I don't really care about them. They can just do their own thing. So your attitude is very, very important here in what God is trying to say and what God is trying to do. Let's continue on. It's time as sons and daughters that you understand that you're being trained. It is time as sons and daughters that this wildness that God is trying to get out of you, God is not trying to break your spirit. He is not trying to stop you from going forth and doing the things that he has ordained for you to do. For example, releasing new things into the spirit realm. There's a proper way. There's a proper understanding, a protocol that God has set forth that has been through time. You're not going to change that. The reason why you're not going to change that is because God has set it in order. Everything is done and decent in order in his house. And he's saying that because he wants things to follow the same way on earth as they are in heaven. God is not trying to break your spirit. He is not trying to stop you from going forth and doing the things that he has ordained for you to do. For example, releasing new things into the spirit realm. What he is trying to do is mature you quickly and bring you into a place where you can be used. I'm going to stop here for a second, because when you look at the disciples in the Bible, they spent time with someone. When you look at the Apostle Paul, he left where he was at and went into the wilderness. In some cases it says 10 years, some cases it says 17 years. There was no quick process to him being anointed. And as children of God, we have to get this quick process out of our mind, saying, God's going to raise me up. I'm here to tell you, the people who get there quickly fall quickly, and they never come back. They just don't. So don't despise the time that you have to take to get where God has taken you to. Don't despise the relationship that God has placed you in, because that is the agent of change that God is using to mature you, to give you what you're asking for, what you're hoping for. You need to have wisdom in that relationship and realize what your role and your responsibility is. This is me. I don't know much about horses or taming animals, but this is just in my spirit. And I believe that this is what God is wanting to teach you tonight. Continuing on, you as the one who has the wildness in you, you have to yield that wildness over to God. That's your part. That's your job. You have to be able to say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, this feels like the spirit, but I don't know if it's your spirit. Whatever it is, I feel like people are trying to hold me back. They're trying to keep me from prophesying. They're trying to keep me from healing. Are you allowing yourself to be taught? Are you allowing yourself to get all different points of view and wisdom that you don't see because you're on this one-way track? I got to get here. I got to get here. I got to get elevated. I got to be number one. When you have the benefit of having someone who's been there, who's been up there, been devoured, ripped up by the body of Christ, ripped up by the devil, fought battles, fought and won victories, and can teach you from making the same mistakes that other people made, can teach you things that you wouldn't see on your own, because your mind, you got blinders on, you got vision of, I just got to be number one, I just got to be it, I have to be the it person. But the reality is, with these blinders on, you can't see what the enemy is doing on all these different sides. And you don't know you have a blind spot until someone points it out to you. Have you ever thought about that? And those who drive, you know this. You're driving down the road, and you just know you're by yourself. You just know it. You're good, and all of a sudden you look up, and somebody comes and cuts you off. Where did that car come from? Or that truck, or whatever it is. We all have blind spots. And it's up to you as a student to be willing to hear what those blind spots are. It's up to you as a student to be able to say, I don't know it all. God's given me some new wisdom, some new revelation, but I don't know it all. I have to have sense enough to know that I don't, and that there's other people out there who know more. The beautiful thing about the body of Christ is everybody gets a piece. We all get a piece. And when we put all of those pieces together, we see the whole picture. And it's a beautiful thing. But if we take my piece and I'm just going to hold it to myself because this is the secret revelation knowledge and I'm only going to give it to special people, who wins? Nobody. Nobody wins. But if you give your piece, I give my piece, they give their piece, we all see what's going on. Without an agenda, without a disunity, but a humility, love, and submission. We submit our gifts one to another. And a lot of people don't like the word submission, but the bottom line is we have to be able to submit to one another in love. There's a lot of times, you know, there's things that you think needs to be done because you're seeing it from your perspective. But as you yield, as you submit to your teacher, they've got so much different experience, wisdom, and it works out beautifully. Just completely beautifully because they already been through it. Or God showed them what to do and how to do it. Many, many, many times, the thing that I wanted to do was wrong. And God spoke to Pastor Barbara and said, no, don't do it that way. Humbled myself. When it's all said and done, beautiful. Everybody's happy, grinning, smiling. And it was like nothing was wrong. If I would have done what I wanted to do in those situations, it would have been destruction, hard feelings. I would have felt bad. Nothing would have got accomplished. So it's very, very important that you understand your relationships that you're in. God didn't put you in there to hurt you. He put you in there to grow you up, to make you stronger. Don't buck against that. There's going to be things. Pastor Barbara can tell you I was an angry, angry individual. Angry individual. But over time, God has gotten that out of me. I've gotten more patient. I still have the blind spot of it, and I have to be careful about it. But I had to yield. I had to submit. And I'm challenging you tonight out of my own experiences to do the same thing. It will go well for you if you do those things. It just really will. You as the one who has the wildness in you, you have to yield to that. You have to yield that wildness over to God. You have to yield that wildness over to him so that he can use you to do the things that he wants you to do. It's crazy. Here's the crazy part. Because God put this wild streak, this excitement, this zeal inside of you, and he is wanting to use this for his kingdom. But there are principles, boundaries that you do not know and you do not understand. And God has placed you in a relationship so that you can understand and grow and mature. I'm going to read that again. He is wanting to use this for his kingdom, your wildness. But there are principles and boundaries that you don't know, you don't understand, and God has placed you in a relationship so that you can understand. You can go forth with knowledge. You can go forth with wisdom, not reacting. Not just jump into conclusions. Well, this is what we need to do. No, you need to stop and pray. sometimes the quick emergency response reaction is wrong. The better reaction is to wait. Step back. Get a clear picture of what's really going on. Evaluate your attitude, your mood. You know, am I making a decision based upon how I feel at the moment? Or am I making a decision based upon the Spirit of God? You would be surprised how many times you've made a decision based upon how you feel and it has nothing to do with God. I'm going to say that again. You would be surprised how many times you make a decision based upon what you feel and not the Spirit of God. And it causes so much problems. We have to get out of that. And we have to learn to yield. We have to learn to submit that to God and get out of it. God has placed you in a relationship so that you can understand and grow and mature, so that God can take you with your wildness, with your personality, and help other people. These will be the same people with a similar personality with yours. Sister Barbara has a strong personality. I can't minister to the people that Sister Barbara ministers to. It just doesn't gel. It just doesn't click. We're friends. We're buddies. But the personality that God has given her is to reach a certain set of people. Aaron, he has a certain personality. It's going to reach a certain set of people. And it's good because we're all in the body of Christ. And if we all reach the people that we're supposed to reach, we're covered. A long time ago, God said each one of us was supposed to win 1 million people. Do you realize that there are going to be 1 million people that are similar to your attitude and your personality? Get ready, Pastor Barbara. So all of these people are going to come in here clicked up and happy, you know, just doing their thing. It's going to be like, oh my God. But if you have wisdom, you have discernment, you know when to engage and when to stay away. And it's a beautiful thing. And everybody can live in harmony together. The key to a successful father is recognizing the strengths and weaknesses of the children. The key to a successful father is recognizing the strengths and weaknesses of the children. You have to be able to recognize where they are strong at and where they are weak at, and then build them up in those weak areas. Build them up in those weak areas. Again, it's about relationship. You have to be able to submit to what your father says. It looks good. It sounds good. But there's just something in my spirit that just doesn't set right. You have to bring it down. Humble yourself and say, okay, I'm going to wait. And I'm making it sound like it's hard, but it's not. Once you practice it, it's very, very simple. It's very, very easy because it, you know, the relationship, the trust that's built in the relationship, it goes a long way. And when you have that level of trust, it's okay. It's so good and it's so beautiful. It's easy to make that decision to humble yourself and say, I'll wait. And I want to encourage you in this tonight. Sometimes you're going to have those decisions where you really, really think something should be done. And God says, no, wait. Wait. It's to your benefit. It's to your good. It's only going to help you. Many in the body of Christ don't understand that these weak areas are put there by God so that you can learn humility, so that you can learn submission, and that you can be broken out of your pride. Your pride says, I know how to do it. Your pride says, this is the only way that this can be done. Your pride will get you in trouble, and it needs to be let go of. It needs to be gotten out of you. And when you're in relationship, God smacks that out of you. He gently pulls it out of you. Whatever you need. I've come to find this too, and this is going to sound crazy. Some people like the fight. They like to fight back and forth with their teacher. And we can't be afraid of that. We have to say, okay, you know, I know this person's got this little attitude. I'm going to let them do it. I'm going to wait till they calm down and then go back. But the person grows from that exchange. I don't understand this. I really don't. But there are some people who need that. They need to be roughed up a little bit. There's other people, you can tell them, perfect. They move right in and do what you're told to do. Pastor Barr said, where at? But some people like to fight. They just do. And it's a part of getting it in their head and in their mind and their soul that this is the right thing to do. And again, this is breaking that wildness without breaking the person's spirit. Someone said an attitude adjustment. No one can do anything in pride. No one can do anything with just pure, unrestrained wildness because it will not be received. People will hear you, but they will ignore you and your wildness. But if you come under the anointing, if you come through the gate and the relationship that God has ordained for you to come through, everything in your life will work itself out. But you cannot buck your relationships that God has placed you in. You just can't. I'm going to read that again. No one can do anything in pride. No one can do anything with just pure, unrestrained wildness because it will not be received. People will hear you, but they will ignore you in your wilderness, in your wildness. But if you come under the anointing, I'm going to stop here for a second. Think about how wild Jesse Duplantis is. Laughing, giggling. When he first came to the church, nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. No, you can't do that. You don't laugh in the house of God. But look at everything that he went through because he learned, he submitted to whoever he submitted to. God trained him and brought him up. People love him. They love everything that he does. They're able to receive it because God did and got out of him what he needed to get out of him. There's other examples. There's others, people. You probably could think of them all. But put yourself in this. Think about some of the things that you are wild in, and God has been speaking to you prophetically, saying, you got to let this go. You got to let me have this. You got to submit this unto me. Think about something else. All of us are called to be like David's mighty men. Pastor Barbara's read these stories a lot here recently in how strong they were. You know, they broke through the battle line and got him a glass of water, and he didn't drink the water. You know how strong you have to be to go and defeat a whole army? You know, you have to start seeing yourself as that strong person, but submitting that strength unto God. It's not, this isn't a position where you have to be weak. This isn't a position where you lose the giftings that God has given you. This is a position where you submit them to be used. We all are missiles. We really are. And whatever time God chooses to press the button and launch us forth to destroy what needs to be destroyed, that's going to take place. So you're carrying something inside of you that is going to destroy the works of the enemy. But if you don't understand that, you're not going to understand how important it is for somebody to be able to press the button to send you forth. You can't launch yourself. You can go to any missile silo in the world, any gun and a bullet. If the trigger's not pulled for that gun, it's not going to explode. It's not going to come out. It's not going to do anything. But there's power in that bullet. There's power in that missile that's ready to be released. You understand that? And it takes God putting you in relationships so that at the proper time and the proper season, it's released. Pastor Barbara's been waiting a long time for certain things to line up, for God to move and to bring the glory. There's power that's there. And when God presses the button, that power is going to be released and go everywhere. It's there. It's not diminished in any way. It's not gotten smaller. It's gotten bigger. It's gotten strengthened, heavier. See, it's, again, I'm trying to give you a different perspective of, oh man, I got to go here again. I got to go get a deliverance. You know, I got to read my Bible. No, I'm being trained. I'm being prepared to go forth so I can carry my missile out and destroy the works of the enemy. And all of us have them. All of us have this talent, this gift that God is going to use to touch the world if we humble ourselves, submit, walk in love, stay out of pride. Simple, but it's hard to do. But it's very, very simple. If you come through the gates in relationship that God has ordained for you to come through, everything in your life will work itself out. But you cannot buck your relationships that God has placed you in. You just can't. And those who are bucking those relationships, you're really pushing the limits of God. You're really pushing the limits of God. It's not worth it to do that. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There's a time for everything. There is a season, a time appointed for everything, and a time for every delight, an event, or purpose under heaven. There's going to be a time to learn and a time not to learn. And in this season of our lives, we're in a time to learn. There's so much that we need to know in order to be able to flow in the Spirit properly. That's another thing. There's flowing in the Spirit, and there's flowing in the Spirit properly. You can mess things up by what you're doing if you're not in the direct timing of God, in the direct will of God. You can destroy people's lives. To think the missile that you're carrying is dangerous. It's dangerous. The anointing that you're carrying is dangerous. And I'm saying it from the standpoint of understanding that you can hurt people if you don't get the training that you're supposed to get. You can really destroy somebody and cause them to fall away from God and lose out. And none of us want that in here. When you're training, you should be in the mindset of learning. The value of relationships comes from understanding that iron sharpens iron. You need to see yourself as in a position to receive instruction, the position of learning. Again, everybody has a role, you know, teacher and then the learner. When you're working in relationships, this is an important key to remember. As a teacher, your job is not to make copies of yourself. Your job is to help them see the importance of patience, balance, determination, and hard work. As a student, you should strive to understand everything that you are being told. Everything. You should be in the back of your mind, not questioning your teacher, but questioning God. What did they really mean by that? How does this work? How can I see deeper in the Spirit? How do I get close to you so that I know what's going on? When you're in relationship, and this has been a powerful thing that we've seen, you know, you're in relationship, everybody knows in a relationship what's going on with each other because you can feel each other in the Spirit. You sense and you know different things that are going on because you're close. You know when someone's down. You know when someone's up. You know, they don't have to call you and say, pray. You just feel it in the Spirit. So there's that bond that comes from teacher-student. You know what's going on. You should seek to learn it in a way that will give you enough insight to be able to teach what you've been taught. Can you teach the things that you've been taught? Or are you just stuffing them inside and holding them for yourself? You should get to that place where you're able to tell somebody else, because what you need to do is multiply what you've been taught into other people. It's not just for you. Down the road, you're going to be able to train other people. You're going to be able to raise other people up and have them doing the same thing that you do. Your goal is not just to stay with yourself. And listen to what Pastor Barbara says. I don't want it to just stay in these four walls. It's not just for this house. It's for the rest of the world. It's for everyone else to come out and to receive. Bigger picture, not just this tunnel vision. Bigger picture. You should seek to learn it in a way that will give you enough insight to be able to teach what you've been taught. As a student, your perspective should be one of trying to gain insight. You can learn from other people's victories, and you can learn from their failures. Again, that's that indirect teaching. You won't get this insight if you're hard to teach. You just won't. You have to place yourself in a position to be vulnerable and open. Sometimes people have a misunderstanding of what vulnerable is. They feel that to be vulnerable is too risky and uncomfortable. You have to be willing to be told that you're wrong, that your idea is not right. Or here's another one. Your idea is not for this time period. It's a good idea, but it's not for now. How many times has that happened? Where God has said, this anointing is coming, it's here, I'm sowing it into you, but it's not for now. That happens a lot. That happens so much. We get mad at the teacher. We get mad at the person that we're in relationship because they're trying to protect you. Pastor Barbara says she went out on the evangelistic field and God pulled her off because the people didn't understand what was going on, what was being done through her, and they ripped her up. They ripped her apart. She learned from that. She didn't get mad at God and say, well, I need to be out here. I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to put myself out there anyway. No. It was a learning lesson. It was a learning experience. And as she learned, as that lesson went into her, she was able to train all of us, hey, this is what you expect when you go out on the road. This is what these people are going to do. Because this is what God showed me is going to happen. This is what happened to me. So all of these things are meat and they're food for you to grow by. For your relationships to work the way that God intends them to work, you cannot bypass being uncomfortable. You cannot bypass being vulnerable. As a student, you need to understand that you lack the ability to see things from the perspective of your teacher. As a student, you need to understand that you lack the ability to see things from the perspective of your teacher. This doesn't mean that you don't see anything. You just don't see it from the depth and the wisdom of the knowledge. Someone starting out driving, 18-year-old driving a car, they know how to drive the car, they know how to operate it, but they don't have the years of someone who's been driving a car for 30 years. It's just different. You just know so much more, you just have so many different experiences, and that causes a play. That causes things to come to pass that you need to understand. Yes, you can drive the car, you have this knowledge and this wisdom, but someone who's been driving for 30 years can avoid an accident, or they can see an accident or smell an accident before it even happens. Someone who's 18 just gets run over. Oh, I didn't know you was there. See what I'm saying? Same thing in the spirit. You know, you have the gift of prophecy. You know, if you're young, then the person who's older, more mature, if they're following the spirit, they're going to have a deeper depth of prophecy, not because, you know, you did anything wrong. It's just because of time in service. There's a trust level with them that they have, that they've earned from God. They've earned that. You can't take that away. You can't take the years of service and hardship that they went through, the victories that they went through, and take that out of their prophetic just because you're new and you want to prophesy and you get a new kind of prophecy. That doesn't take away or wipe away what they've been through. That doesn't wipe away the relationship that they have with God, because it's built on a strong bond, a strong trust. And God trusts them to reveal certain things that he probably wouldn't reveal to someone who's new. Again, it's because of their character. The character's been developed. You are limited to a degree, and this puts great responsibility upon your teacher to help you find your blind spots or weaknesses. This is a great level of humility that is needed to lay down what you think so that you can really be taught. This is where the wildness comes in. As a teacher, your wildness level has to be evaluated. from many different directions. How well do you listen? How well do you listen? Turn the light on. You want me to go outside? Simple things. How well do you accept correction? How well do you follow instructions? How are you perceiving the world around about you? Some people come in with the attitude that everybody's attacking them, and your teacher has to strip that off of you. No, not everybody's attacking you. This is your perspective. This is your worldview that you grew up with that was wrong, that no one ever told you that everybody's attacking you. And it's my job in God to say, hey, this is a weakness that you have. They like you. They love you. They respect you. What made you be the person that you are? Some people have had horrible, horrible beginnings. And they come into church and they bring all of those beginnings with them. And they have to be trained. They have to be loved. They have to be nurtured into, this is the proper way to do things. You grew up with this. This is the only thing that you know, but this isn't right. What was done to you wasn't right. So we're gonna help you. We're going to teach you what's right. And then you're not going to do that to your generations. And you're going to understand how blessed you are because you're here. You made it through all of the trash and the trauma that you went through. And God's going to use you to attract those people into the church because you're going to be able to recognize them and see, man, I know that person's hurting because I see certain things that I used to do inside of them. I see certain feelings and attitudes and reactions, and you can minister to them from a place of knowing inside of here in the heart. And you will have such a compassion for people because you're not ministering out of head knowledge. You're ministering out of experience, and it does so much more. A teacher has to look at the student and see them for who they are, evaluating everything that is going on in their life. You know, are you going through a hard time? You know, have you had some hard hits, some hard knocks? There's a difference between, and again, this goes back to a father knowing their children. Do you discipline your children all the same? No, you don't. You have to go based upon their personality. You have to go based upon what they've been through. If not, what you're doing, it will crush them. It will destroy them. Some students bring a lot to the table that has to be wiped off the table before they can begin to be used. Some students bring a lot to the table that has to be wiped off the table before they can begin to be used. I want to give you this one scripture. This is the relationship between Elisha and Elijah. This is 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elisha passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elijah turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. For Elisha to have 12 yoke of oxen, he had a pretty extensive lifestyle. He had some money. So for him to leave his surroundings, his family, that wealth, and go serve someone who didn't have all of that, that says a lot about what God is doing in relationships. This relationship that they had, if you look at some of the things that Elisha did, they were equal to or greater than Elijah. He fed people. He did miracles and things like that. But the things that he did, he learned in relationship with Elijah. He would have never got that in his rich family. The things that you're getting out of your relationship right now with your teacher, you're not going to get that anywhere else. You really aren't. And you've got to understand that. You really aren't. God placed you in the house that you're in, whether you're in this house or the house that, you know, that's watching, because there's things that he wants you to get. There's things that he wants you to get out of that relationship so that you can go to the next level, so that you can receive everything that God wants you to have, so that you can be what he wants you to be. Father, I thank you for this teaching. I thank you for the relationships that you've established in here. I thank you for the relationships that you've placed us in. And as your glory is moving and preparing to move across this earth, we ask, Father, that you just help us to be ready. You've helped us to recognize who you are and what you're doing. And if we've been dishonorable in our relationships, we pray, Father God, that you would help us to repent and to appreciate everything that you've been doing and where you're going with us. Now, Father, we pray for more wisdom, more discernment as we're being students, as we're learning. And we pray, Father, that as we go forth in this hour, your grace would be upon us to do the greater things that you're asking us to do. And we give you honor and glory for this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone would like to receive the anointing to be able to be a good student, the altar's open for you to receive that.